The Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan. Real Money Kramer. Ryan, are you ready for some basketball?
Yeah, of course.
I know.
I don't really care, actually. I probably won't pay attention until football's over.
Exactly, but we still owe it to the listeners of the Sports Gambling Podcast to set some lines on the NBA action. Go over some win totals. First off, David Stern announcing he will step down February 1st of 2013 or 2014? I forget. I feel like it might be a little while.
I think it was February of 2014. It's some like anniversary. I don't know.
You felt it was symbolic to go out on top.
Yeah, I think it's like his 30th anniversary or some dumb shit like that.
Good old David Stern. Really, I do love how they're taking down player celebrations before game start. It's like, yeah, they're professional basketball players. We don't mind that aspect of it. That's what helped grow the league.
Yeah, I mean, same with the NFL. It's so dumb that you can't celebrate as a team. And all,
it's just pure racism. There's no other. Although I feel like the NFL just stopped. When was the last time you saw someone get flagged for excessive celebration or delay game for spiking the ball? Like, does that happen anymore?
I feel like it happens once. It's based on the player. Just like a reputation.
Now that Jeremy Shockey's out of the league, I feel like that penalty's gone way down.
Yeah, him and Plaxico.
Yeah, like I feel like I've seen multiple group celebrations, like on that block kick the Dolphins had, the block punt where they got a touchdown. I feel like the entire punt defense just started doing that Gangnam style or whatever it is, and they didn't throw a flag at all. I don't understand it, Ryan.
Nope.
All right, enough of the small talk. Let's get to these NBA over-under win totals. I'm no NBA expert by any means, but that's not going to slow me down from predicting.
No, of course not.
Yeah, I mean, that probably means my picks are going to be better because I'm less emotional when it comes to the NBA.
All right. So it's, alphabetical order, maybe?
Yeah, whatever. You can do it by divisions, conferences,
alphabetical. Let's keep it simple.
All right.
All right. First off, they're like mediocre every year. They kind of quit last year and came on strong. The Atlanta Hawks. Over under for them is 43. I don't know. The big news was they lost. They traded Joe Johnson for Deshaun Stevenson, Jordan Farmar, Jordan Williams, Morrow, Petro, and two draft picks in the offseason. They then waived Farmar and Williams. They let McGrady and Radmanovich go. They let Heinrich go, signed Lou Williams. That was kind of their big pickup. They also traded Marvin Williams for Devin
Best
Harris.
Best mustache in the league, Lou Williams.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm usually wrong on this Hawks team. But 43 seems about right. They feel like they're going to be like the sixth seed in the East, which I would say is going to be between like 42 and 47 wins. I don't know. I guess just because I'm not high on a ton of teams in the East, I'm just going to take the over here. Slight. I'm not going to play it, but I'd say if you're picking everyone, I'm going to take the over.
I'll take a slight over. I feel like...
Maybe they're like a 45, 46 win team.
Yeah, I feel like getting rid of Josh there, I think, helped him out a little bit, just as far as a team chemistry standpoint. I feel like that guy, I don't know, I get a cancerous vibe from him.
Maybe. Who's that?
Josh Smith.
Oh, he's still on the team.
Oh, wait, no. Who am I thinking of? Who'd they get rid of?
Joe Johnson. The silent superstar.
I mean, Josh Smith, I feel like, still has a cancer then.
This Hawks team is going to be the same as they always are, and that's a team that they will make the playoffs. I can almost guarantee they're going to make the playoffs as something like the 4, 5, 6 seed, and they're going to lose in the first round. So I'm going to take a slight over here. You're going to go over also?
Yeah, I'll take over just because, like you were saying, the East feels a little top-heavy, so I think there's some room to win some regular season games.
All right, next up. We got the Boston Celtics.
Who?
Yeah, the old man Boston Celtics. They got a couple guys coming back, and mainly Jeff Green, who missed all of last season with some sort of heart ailment. They re-signed Kevin Garnett, who seemingly can still play.
It's really a miracle. They lost Ray Allen.
They replaced Greg Steemsma and Jermaine O'Neal, a bunch of nobodies on the front court, with Jared Sellinger of Ohio State and Fab Mello of Syracuse. And they picked up some pieces in a trade with Portland. They let Ray Allen go to the Heat, and they replaced him with Jason Terry. They signed Darko, signed some other players, none of which are tremendously important. The over-under for Boston is sitting there right at a cool 50.5 wins. This is tough for me. It's hard to really back old teams to rack up regular season wins.
You haven't even mentioned Rajon Rondo possibly primed for a career year, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'd say he's definitely the best player on the team now. It's definitely his team. He took everyone out to the West Coast on some team-building activity. I don't know. My problem is I have a hard time with this. I mean, this Boston team could do what they did last year and kind of coast, get in the playoffs, and then they're veterans. So I'm gonna take. I don't think it's play worthy, but I'm gonna take a stance on the under here. I think I could see Boston being like a 47-48 win team. 50.5 seems a bit high, but you never know. Rondo could take over and. You know, they could end up being a 55-win team. I just don't see it. Too many old people, too many new people to kind of work in with the chemistry. And, I don't know, can Garnett stay healthy?
Well, that's the thing. I think it's less about Kevin Garnett staying healthy. I think he kind of provides the emotional leadership this team needs, and Rajon Rondo provides the physical leadership on the court. I think they're in this nice place where Rondo is the team leader on the court, but he kind of still defers to Kevin Garnett enough. And you still got Paul Pierce being able to be a consistent player on some level. I like him low 50, so I think it's a slight play on the over. I say they win 52 games.
All right. Next up, this is a new spot for them in the alphabetical order list, the Brooklyn Nets, no longer the New Jersey Nets. Don't even know how you abbreviate Brooklyn. On my list, I assumed it would be BKN. There could be a Y in there. I don't know.
Yeah. No, BKN sounds right.
That sounds right. All right. All right. The total for Brooklyn, 46.
Whoo.
Now, of course, Brooklyn made some splashes, thought to be in the sweepstakes for Dwight Howard.
And that could have really changed the team because I feel like, pretty obvious.
It he talked like about how he wanted to go there.
It sounds like they're just lacking a defensive presence.
Yeah, so they made the big trade for Joe Johnson. They picked up Gerald Wallace. Or they already had Gerald Wallace, right? They re-signed him. They re-signed Darren Williams. They re-signed Brooke Lopez. They re-signed Chris Humphries. They drafted Tyshawn Taylor, who could be a nice piece. Picked up Childress. Stack, this has the makings of a nice team. They're going to be young and hungry. They could end up winning. They could win a couple more games than maybe they're supposed to in the regular season because, the Heat and the Celtics might not care as much about those regular season games. 46 feels good. I don't know. I have a hard time trusting Brooke Lopez as a dominant center. I know there's not much going on there. And the guys they picked up aren't, create your own shot guys. Joe Johnson has kind of turned into a jump shooter.
I feel like it's too much turnover for 1 year. I mean, you look at the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, it took them a year to get it together, and that was much higher level of talent. So I think you're looking at this New Jersey Nets team, and yeah, I think maybe they'll be good next year. Maybe you're looking at a 50-win team next year, but this year I'm going to take the under 46. I feel like it's basketball is way too much of a chemistry game to just put it together, and I also feel like once the kind of hubbub of opening night's gone away, I don't know, if this New Jersey team isn't dominant, things could get shaky quick.
Yeah, I think the line's about right, to be honest with you. But I'm going to take a slight over. Like I said, I think there could be some regular season games to be won out there in the East. And I think this team could be hungry enough to play hard in some of those meaningless regular season games. This is a definite playoff team. Definitely feels like maybe a four seed here, maybe higher. All right, next up. Oh, God, how bad is Michael Jordan as an owner? Charlotte Bobcats. The over-under set at 18.5.
Wow.
They were really awful last year. I don't know if you remember. Kemba Walker was basically their best player. And they just shit the bed. Michael Jordan, I think they set the record for the longest losing streak and worst losing percentage.
Yeah, worst losing percentage. So you could make an argument they were the worst NBA team of all
right.
time.
So here's what they did to get better. They traded Corey Maggette, who's a career loser, for Ben Gordon. They drafted Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who was on that Kentucky National Championship team. They let DJ Augustine go, picked up Ramon Sessions, a little veteran leadership, and they waived Brandon Hayward using their amnesty clause. They were bad last year. They didn't appear to get that much better. They were 7-59 last year, and they were even a little bit lucky. it doesn't seem like. They were in the bot. They were the worst team in the league in both offensive and defensive efficiency. I don't see what they did to get much better. They have a potential rookie playmaker in Ben Gordon, who's shown to be nothing more than a scorer. I have a hard time thinking this team is going to win more than 18.5 games. I'm going to roll with the under here.
All right, Ryan. I am going to roll with the over, and I'll tell you why. Just strictly in sports generally, there's some, I don't know, it just feels like you can only be so bad for so long. I don't know. I just feel like they're going to rebound enough. Nothing crazy. They're going to win 20, 22 games, something like that. That's my prediction.
Now, my problem is that they have Kidd-Gilchrist, Kemba Walker, and Ben Gordon, who are all similar players. Your three best players are all basically shooting guards. I don't know how that's going to work. You're not going to be able to get
them. They're going to suit up Jordan. They're going
to
bring
it back. I think it might be coming to that point where Jordan gets pissed. I wonder if he goes down to practice and just clotheslines, dude. Like, back in my day. I don't know. I don't want to be on this team. I'm not playing it, but I don't want to be on this team over when they start out 2-25.
Yeah.
Or something horrible like that. I don't see a lot out of this team.
It just feels a little too low for a win total for an NBA team.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, 18 and that would effectively mean what? 18-64? That's
64 is a lot of games to lose.
Yeah, that's really bad. All right. Next up, Chicago Bulls. Win total here might seem a little low, 47.5. Of course, Derrick Rose out until probably the All-Star break, meaning he's going to miss two-thirds of the season almost. They let the big dude from Turkey inside go, and they replaced him with Nazi Muhammad, not as much size, not the defender. They cut C.J. Watson. They drafted Teague, also out of Kentucky. Cut Brewer, signed another shooter. They cut Brewer, who's a good two-guard defender, signed Bellinelli, who's really a shooter. Got rid of Korver, who was a shooter, signed Radmanovic. Those are similar players. Let John Lucas go, who was the practice squad hero who put up all those points. Signed Nate Robinson, who's all offense, no defense. And then they signed Kurt Heinrich, who's a nice player for them. But all I see in all those moves is they lost. I mean, I feel like their defensive edge was inside. They still have Noah. They still have the kid from USC, blanking on his name. They still have Boozer. But I feel like they got softer defensively, and that was kind of their identity. I think they're going to be ultra careful with Derrick Rose. I mean, there's no reason to bring him back too early. This guy's going to be a career player for, you know, 10, 15 more years. For all of those reasons, I'm going to take the under here. I think they won games without Derrick Rose.
It's 47?
47 and a half. I think they, wow. This is almost, good enough where I might put an actual play on. This is a fringe play for me. I think they're going to be really careful, and I think they won games without Derrick Rose last year with their defense. I don't think they're going to be as good defensively this year.
I'll take the over, Ryan. I think he comes back a little sooner than people say. I think the ACL, just basically the ACL rehab, has come a lot farther than people have realized. I mean, you're seeing it with Adrian Peterson. I'm sure Derrick Rose is on the forefront of that. And it's my argument. I just think, I like Chicago, I like Boston, and I like Miami to win a lot of games in the regular season just because I feel like the East is kind of top-heavy. After those three teams, I see a bit of a drop-off. So I think Chicago still going to be a tough, feisty team. They have Joakim Noah. I think Thibodeau is a pretty solid coach. And I don't think 48 wins is out of the question for this team, so give me the over.
All right, two things. One, football players, a lot more muscle on the frame to kind of help rehab those things quicker. Two, I mean, you saw in the playoffs when he got hurt. You saw it when he wasn't playing. They have a heart. And you even saw it in the playoffs when he was playing. They don't have anyone that can create their own shot without him. I just don't see how they score a lot of points. But anyway.
I'll take the over. Be all controversial.
Right. Yeah, very controversial. All right, next up. The Cleveland Cavs, still pissed off LeBron left. Over-under's 31.5 here, which I guess seems a little low. I don't know. Of course, they have Kyrie Irving, last year's Rookie of the Year, looked great. They drafted Deion Waiters and Tyler Zeller, who, of course, the big man from North Carolina. Other than that, they re-signed Herron Gotti. They let Jamison go. They picked up some role players. I don't see them improving much on that. They were 21-45 last year, which is essentially like a 30-win team. I think this line's pretty accurate in saying that they're going to be around a 30-win team again. I just don't see the drastic improvement in the roster. But I think Kyrie Irving kind of showed that he had a little bit of it. I think there's going to be some wins for them to steal. So I'm going to take a slight lean on the over here.
Yeah, I like the slight lean on the over as well. Like you said, I think Kyrie Irving makes that jump in the second year. And, I don't know. I feel like they got a little bit of positive momentum going. They still have Varejao, correct?
They do.
Yeah, Varejao. The poor man's Joakim Noah, and the guy just seems to...
He's a broke man's Joakim Noah.
I don't know. I think he can... I don't know. I think they'll have a little fight in him. So I think they can win over 31.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't see too many playmakers on the team, but all right. Next up, Dallas Mavericks, of course. Dirk Nowitzki out with a right knee injury. Going to be out for a little while, it sounds like. The team, this is pretty funny. In the breakdown, it says they traded Lamar Odom and a Kardashian. they got rid of Lamar Odom.
Lamar Odom got rid of Lamar Odom.
Yeah, he wasn't really playing. They Haywood gone, signed Chris Kaman, the caveman. Drafted some guys that no one cares about. They let Jason Terry go. Replaced him with O.J. Mayo. I like that move. Got O.J. Mayo on the cheap. They won the amnesty auction for Elton Brand. Obviously, Kidd was gone. And they got Darren Collison from Indiana. Over-under, 41. I just feel like this team swung and missed. They were going for Dwight Howard. They were kind of making all their moves for Dwight Howard, and they didn't get him. They kind of scrambled. Now, that being said, I like the moves they made. They got a bunch of nice role players, kind of typical Dallas. Got some old guys to fill in. 41.5 seems way too low. I'm still confident this Dallas team will find a way into the playoffs. to make the playoffs in the West, you're going over 500. So I'm going to take over here.
All right. You won me over on that. I was thinking under at first, but yeah, you'll get Dirk for a decent amount of the season. And like you said, they still feel like a playoff team. Whether they're going to be great, that's yet to be determined. I would highly doubt it, but they still feel like competitive enough to make the playoffs. So yeah, like you said.
Yeah, I just think they made some savvy pickups.
OJ Mayo, decent shooter.
Yeah, I think OJ Mayo's an upgrade over Terry. Brand will play well. You know, and Chris Kaman is a very, very serviceable center. So, you know, I'm not too worried. I don't know. Update on the football game real quick. Sorry, Sean.
Sure.
Arizona got it down to, like, the one-yard line and somehow to find a way to not score. 24-3 is your final.
Nice.
What a terrible, 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 terrible team Arizona is.
Wow. And the fact that they didn't kick a 53-yard field goal earlier on in the game. They weren't going for it on fourth down when you're down 3 touchdowns. I don't care what side of the ball you're on. That's ridiculous.
Yep. It's classic pussy basketball.
Football.
Sorry.
It's all right.
My brain's all over.
Yeah, you're already switched over to NBA.
Next up, your Denver Nuggets.
I do. I like the Nuggets.
All right. Nuggets come in. Nuggets were a deep team last year, which I think before last year we talked about how they could end up having a good season with the shortened schedule. They ended up with 38 wins. They were slightly unlucky. They were fast. They could score. Their problem was perimeter defense. What do? They go out and get Andre Iguodala. They signed Wilson Chandler. They re-signed McGee, re-signed Miller, got rid of Birdman and brought in Anthony Randolph. This team is deep. They're athletic. They can shoot the ball. I mean, it's not so much a surprise and a great coach. Not really a huge surprise team, but this is the team that makes the jump from being a 4 or 5 seed to a potential. I'd say their ceiling is the 1 seed in the West.
Wow.
I think this team, the line is 51.5. Play that lock sound effect, Sean.
Ka-chink.
This is definitely my first lock. I like the over here. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to still get this line due to the trade for Oklahoma City since they're in the same division. I like this line. At 51.5, I would take this line up to 53 over. I also put a play in on Denver to win the division at 7-1. Of course, they share the division with OKC.
Hmm.
I'm not sure what that line's going to resurface at with the trade news. I really think this team, even before the trade, had a chance to challenge OKC for the division.
Yeah, I think, right now.
And they have a great home court. Don't forget.
Back-to-backs in the high elevation, Ryan. Well, we can explain that gambling theory once again. But I feel like, I don't know. I could see them easily as a 3 seed, 2 seed, 1 seed. I don't think they do much worse than a 4 seed, to be honest. I mean, you got what? Clippers, Lakers.
Well, I think the big thing is
San Antonio.
The Clippers. And, I think the Lakers and San Antonio don't care about the 1 seed. So you're not going to see desperation to get that 1 seed at the end. And I think OKC, they had the long playoff run. Of course, now Harden's gone, but two of their two-star players played in the Olympics. And I think the Clippers are a little overrated. So I wouldn't be surprised if Denver ended up being a 60-win team at all.
Wow. I'd be a little surprised if they hit 60, but I still like the over. Strong play. I'm on board with your lock, Ryan. Can't go against this Nuggets team, especially with Iguodala playing defense for him.
Yeah, I think that was kind of their big deficiency last year. And they, you know, if you're going to bring in he's one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. So I think they only stand to get better. And last year they were a really good team. So
yeah, and Iguodala had a pretty good year for the Sixers. It was just a bad contract.
He had such a good year. It was weird that they were talking about trading him.
Agreed.
All right, next up. God, I feel so bad for Detroit. The Detroit Pistons, they picked up Kyle Singler from Duke.
I really couldn't name one guy on the Pistons.
They traded
right
their
now.
Best player in Gordon. They still have the center from Georgetown, Greg Monroe. I don't know. This is a team that basically quit on their coach. they were not good last year. They won 25 wins, and they were extremely lucky. They don't have a good offense, don't have a good defense. They play slow. Like I just said, their best player now is Greg Monroe. They have that little twerp that used to coach the Nets. I forget his name. The red hair. Lawrence Frank. The line for them is 31.5, which that they were about a 32-33 win team last year with the normal schedule. I got to be honest, this is a definite underplay for me. I'm probably not gonna lay money on it, although I might, maybe I should. This feels like Detroit feels like they're gonna win no more than 27-28 wins.
Yeah, actually, I feel good. Lock me up as a play for this on the Detroit under. It's just a general bet against the city of Detroit, and it just does not feel like a good time to be a Pistons fan right now.
Yeah, it's got to be so demoralizing to be a Detroit sports fan.
Well, you had the Tigers, and then they just got swept in the series, so it's going to be tough. And
they
it's
got
like
housed big time.
And you want to talk about disappointments. The Lions this year have been – well, I guess they just won two in a row, so.
I mean, it could be worse for the Lions, but, man, you're not excited about the Detroit Pistons right now, and I really don't think this team is going to make any noise, even in the weak East.
You couldn't even make it'd be tough. I think it's tough to make an argument for them as an 8 seed, so I think you just got to play the under here.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. You got to go under. All right, next up, Mark Jackson, mama there, go that man. Still decided to keep coaching for some reason, even though his team sucks. Up in the yay area. Golden State's total coming in at 36.5. Clearly they expect this team to be better. Of course, they were about a 30-win team last year. They brought in Harrison Barnes in the draft, who was a real stud at UNC. They picked up Jarrett Jack. They got rid of Nate Robinson, which is probably a good thing. Signed Carl Landry, Carl Landry was probably the best player on Houston the last couple of years. Scrappy, power forward, just gets real all hustle. Brought back Brandon Rush. Of course, last year they traded for Andrew Bogut. Trying to build around Stephen Curry. He's having a hard time stay healthy. They still have David Lee.
David Lee also health problems.
I feel like this team is snake bitten. I just don't see them. I see them as a team that kind of flashes and then fades away.
Yeah, you can't. I'm not going to take the over on a team whose best player has severe ankle problems. Yeah, I feel bad for the guy. He's fun to watch, and I feel like he's a great shooter. But give me the under here on Golden State.
Yeah, I'm not going to lay any money on this. This line's pretty true, I think. But yeah, I'm not going to be rooting for this team to win late in the season when they're playing a bunch of D-League guys. All right, next up, the other half of the big deal that went down, Houston Rockets. They recently just traded Kevin Martin and their first round pick, who I'm blanking on his name, Jeremy Lamb, traded them over to OKC for a bunch of other players and James Harden. I don't think before this I had Houston as not a very good team. The over under is 29. I definitely think this improves their chances.
A line out since Harden got traded?
I have not seen a line. I can't imagine they're going to adjust it more than a game or two. Although John Hollinger adjusted his win total for the Oklahoma City Thunder from 58 down to 54. So let's assume it's a four game. Vegas will not adjust that much for sure.
Yeah.
They traded Kyle Lowry, who was a great player. They let Gordon Dragić go, their other backup point guard. Of course, they got a Sheik from Chicago. They got Jeremy Lin. They picked up some other pieces, but they dropped Budinger. I really don't see them as being a scary team to anyone. I think James Harden will have a nice year, but just not enough pieces around him.
That being said, I feel like this Houston team can win 36
if the line,
games.
If the line is, I'd say if it's around, so let's say they adjusted to 32.5.
Yeah, then I like the over.
I don't love it, but I guess I'll lean that way. This Houston team tends to overperform. But yeah, I don't really like this one either way. It seems like the team could go hard. I mean, they could even, they're not a playoff team though, but I think they definitely could win, like you said, 36, 38 games.
Feels right.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to it. All right. Yes. Last year's surprise team, Indiana Pacers. They, coming into this season, of course, coming off that playoff run, they kind of played tough against the Heat.
Yeah, we were all over that.
Everyone thought they matched up well, including us.
Well, it was just plus 650. It felt pretty good.
All right, so they made a bunch of moves. They picked up one of the Plumlee brothers from Duke. They let Amundsen go, the dude with the crazy hair. They re-signed Hibbert, re-signed Hill. They got rid of Collison, one of their point guards, and Dante Jones for Ian Mahimi, some foreigner. Signed Gerald Green, who has all he's ever been known for is having a 44-inch vertical. Let Price go, signed DJ Augustine, and they let Barbosa go. I don't know. It's just this team.
What's the number at?
Oh, the number is 50.5.
Yeah, see, I think Indiana's still a playoff team and still possibly win the first round, but I feel like in the regular season there's going to be a slight regression. This Indiana team felt like everything went exactly right last year, and you know they still couldn't get past the Heat. I feel like something's going to go wrong, whether it's injuries, chemistry, something. Like it just felt like everything fell into place a little too easily for this Indiana team. So I feel like a strong play on the under here, under 50.5. I feel like they're good for like 45, 46 wins, but so not
– two things. One, according to the Pythag, their win record was exactly right. They weren't lucky. Mm-hmm. They weren't unlucky. They were above average both offensively, defensively. But like you said, they don't feel like a dominant team. Now, that being said, they could be one of those teams that wins a lot of games in the regular season, doesn't do well in the playoffs. I got to be honest. I feel like if you're taking – I just feel like their ceiling is 52, 53 wins where their basement is, you know, 500. So that being said, I like taking the under. Just I don't see them as a – you know, I don't see them killing – if you bet the under, I don't think you're going to be burned until the last week of the season. If you take the over – you could be burned, you know, with a month left. So I'm gonna do a slight lean on the under here.
Give me a play on the under there.
Oh, play for you?
I like that. Yeah, no, I just feel like just emotionally felt like everything went right for that Pacers team.
All right. Next up, our Los Angeles Clippers.
You know it, man. We were on the train early.
I mean, honestly, I'm kind of pissed. We've been going to Clippers games for years, and now it's now they're pricing us out of the market.
Us regular guys.
So what do the Clippers do in the offseason? They get rid of Mo Williams.
Oh, man, I like Mo Williams.
Pick up
just two. Well, it's Chauncey Billups. What's his deal? Is he healthy?
All right,
again?
So they – well, Billups should be ready. I believe he should be ready for the deal or for the season. Who knows what he's going to be like. Lamar Odom is now back on the team.
Cancer.
Brought in Matt Barnes. Now, you forget, Lamar Odom's not a cancer when he's living by the beach. He likes the beach. They brought in Matt Barnes. They signed Jamal Crawford, which is a sneaky sign right there. He kind of replaces Randy Foy. They got rid of Reggie Evans, though. This is one, and he actually went to Brooklyn.
Oh, I liked Reggie Evans. I didn't realize he was on the Nets.
I don't know. I don't really like getting rid of Reggie Evans. I feel like at times he was their best interior player.
He's feisty.
They let Evans and Kenyon Martin go. We're kind of like their enforcers.
Oh, they needed that because Blake's a big man, but he doesn't have that insane toughness that like Kmart or Reggie Evans gives you.
They also signed Grant Hill and Ronnie Turioff. Turioff can kind of – he's got a little of that like scrappiness in him, but he's not quite Reggie
Grant
Evans.
Grant Hill, holy shit.
So here's my concern. Simmons has been talking a lot on his podcast. Too many players. Vinny Del Negro is guaranteed to screw this rotation up.
What now? What's the line?
The line is 49.5. And I got to be honest, this team is overrated. I think the line's right. I think they could be a 50. They're going to be a high 40, low 50s win team. They're going to be in the playoffs. Wins in the regular season will be more important for them. I think they definitely want the home court. They have Chris Paul.
Well, in my mind, this feels like almost the West Coast version of the Pacers.
Yeah, I think your upside is like 53 wins.
Right.
I think your downside is, you know,
500. That's why I feel like it's still a solid play on the under.
Yeah, I'm not going to say solid play because
moderate play.
I was watching Blake Griffin and he was hitting some jump shots and, you know.
Yeah, well, we watched like 5 minutes of preseason.
I've watched a couple games. And he's done it in both games I watched. I think he, you know, if he adds that to his game, he's going to be really tough to stop. I just don't trust that he can. I think once you're as a young player, you miss free throws and you're afraid to go inside, it kind of gets in your head. So hopefully it changes for the NBA, but I'm going to do a slight lean on the under there. All right, next up, Crosstown Rivals. I actually heard that they're already planning the parade in Los Angeles. The Lakers, who made the biggest splash this offseason, they traded Bynum, McRoberts, and a couple other guys for Dwight Howard, Earl Clark, Chris Duhon. I still don't get why Orlando got nothing in return. They let Sessions go and replaced him with Nash. They replaced Troy Murphy with Jameson. Let Barnes go, sign Jody Meeks, and then they had a couple draft picks that no one will care about. I think the line is 58. Now, I know that you picked up Dwight Howard and Nash and all this other stuff, but you're an old team who doesn't need to have home court. I don't think they're going to win. I mean, I would say this is almost a good play on the under. I don't think they're a 60-win team. They could easily... I think they could easily just cruise into the four seed even.
Well, yeah, I feel like the Lakers, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Lakers kind of phoned it in last year. And what did they pick up as far as intensity? Like, yeah, Dwight Howard's a much better player, but if you want to talk about players who have a potential to phone it in, I mean, Dwight Howard is right up there in the pantheon of guys who are willing to phone it in.
Although, as a Dwight Howard fan, I'm very torn. I hate the Lakers, but...
See, I hate the Lakers and I hate Dwight Howard, so this is a very easy play.
If Kobe could somehow get Dwight Howard to get that killer instinct, I mean, we could be talking about an extremely dominant player. But I'm gonna lean on the under here.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Lakers once they get to the playoffs, but I think we're talking about regular season win totals. I think it's just a little too much. I mean, they're just getting used to playing with each other.
I also think it might
60 games is a lot.
You're gonna be old. I mean, this might be a good team to fade early. Blindly fade.
Oh, there's going to be so much money pouring in on the Lakers like they're this dream team. In the same way that there was with the, same way with the Heat.
All right, next up, Memphis Grizzlies. Kind of been a darling team the last couple years. Still have that big interior presence. Here's the difference. They let OJ Mayo go, signed Jared Bayless. Not quite the player. Other than that, the team is pretty much the same. Their win total is right at 49. I got to be honest. This is a team I think you can bet on early. I think they're a solid team. I almost feel like this is the opposite of Indiana. I don't think it's a strong play, but I think their downside is 46, 47 wins, and they could end up being a 50. They could easily sneak into the top half of the playoff picture. I'd say a slight play on the over here, but more importantly, I'd say look to play Memphis early.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super high on Memphis, but I think just by process of elimination, I got to give one of these 49-win teams an over, so I think I'm fine with doing it with Memphis there.
All right, next up. After winning their first of six championships, or what was it, eight championships that LeBron promised to the city of Miami?
Yeah, well, I think seven, because that's one more than Jordan, right?
I don't know. Didn't he say not six, not seven, not eight? I gotta
watch that again.
Yeah, they were, of course, they won the championship. We were all over that as underdogs after those first two games. I don't know.
That was great.
After the first game, they were even a slightly unlucky team like last year. Not surprising because they were just so much better. So they really didn't do much. They, signed Ray Allen. Signed Rashard Lewis, got the old Seattle band back together, and they signed Josh Harrelson, who played for the Knicks. He's a white guy who's undersized center. He stinks. That won't be a Hollinger likes the pickup. I don't really think he's that good. But Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis, two guys that can stretch the floor and who can't play a lick of defense. That combined with Bosch, who can't defend. I know they're a defensive team, but at some point you gotta, you know, Battier and Ray Allen are not the same player. Battier can play defense still. Their line sitting at 61.5. I mean, there's no reason the Heat should try to win games early. That being said, there's definitely value on. I feel like there's always value against the team that just won the championship, but aren't the Heat just going to be so much better than everyone else?
I say give me the over. I know it sounds crazy, but I like the over here.
I'm not going to play it, but I'll definitely pick the over. I don't love it just because it's so high, but.
I say play the over. Yeah, it's high, but I don't see this team losing more than 20 games. I think LeBron James, what was his biggest problem through his career? What was the only thing stopping him, Ryan? It was lack of confidence, lack of, you know, in the back of his head thinking maybe I can't pull this off. It feels like they got the dynamic of the team figured out. You know, Dwayne Wade feels fine being second in command. He's healthier than he's a lot healthier, I think, than he was last year. You know, Chris Bosh actually played pretty solid in the playoffs. And I think LeBron is just going to go. He's going to be in FU mode, but he's also going to have that added confidence of just winning his first championship. I don't think he's going to be any less hungry. I think if anything, he's going to be. That just kind of reignited the fire in his belly, and I think they roll big time this year.
Put it in perspective for you, Green. He's a 14-year-old who just tasted the fine vagine for the first time.
Yeah, does
and
that make you?
He's hungry for more. Yeah. It's not gonna. You're not getting complacent. He knows what it feels like now. He knows what it tastes like.
He knows how to do it. I mean, that was the only thing. That was the only problem is his little bit of self-doubt in the, you know, waning minutes of a big game or something. But now that that's been eliminated, I mean, this feels like they're going to have swagger more so than they even had before because they feel emboldened by the championship. I don't see how.
Yeah, I almost think it helps the role players more too because they feel like, you know.
They don't feel like they feel a lot less pressure.
I mean, Mike Miller had those big games. That's got to help his confidence. I don't know. I
they don't feel like they're letting down LeBron or Dwayne if they miss a shot. I mean, this entire team has to have just confidence through the roof. Spoelstra feels validated. I just don't see how they lose more than 20 games.
Yeah, I think more than any other. I mean, in recent memory, I can't remember a conference with Derrick Rose
who
being
in the
out.
East? Who in the yeah. East beats them 10 times? Or
well, that's what
times.
I was going to say. It's, you know, with Derrick Rose, questions about Derrick Rose, you know, Boston's age, Indiana's. Will Indiana step forward? There seems to be a huge difference between the best team and the second team.
Boston wins maybe two games against them. Lakers maybe win a couple, throw in another Western Conference team.
I mean,
I'm
you got
to
remember.
To get to 20 losses.
You got
to
remember Orlando, who they. Typically, they play six times, now is going to be awful. So that used to be a team they might split against. Now they're going to probably sweep them.
Yeah, think of the eight teams that you have penciled in for the East for the playoffs. Who is going to give them a hard time?
I'm sure the Knicks will come show up because it will be a primetime game at least once. Boston will show up because they have this, like, especially now that Ray Allen is the
yeah,
traitor.
There'll be a rivalry, and maybe they'll get a few of those.
And I think Indy can knock them off once. Chicago with Rose might not. I mean, I see what you're saying, though. I can't. I'd have to go through their schedule, but I can't imagine.
I'm just looking at the schedule the other way around, and I have trouble getting the 20 losses with this team.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they'd have. They'd have to go 61-21 to not hit this bet. So
yeah.
All right. Next up, Milwaukee, 37.5. What did Milwaukee do this offseason besides hear about how Brandon Jennings wanted to be traded? They, what'd they do? Traded Sean.
They got Montales.
Don't care about that. Yeah, a bunch of moves no one really cares about. They got the Priz dog. I don't know. They were slightly unlucky last year. 37.5 feels right. Could be contending for that eighth playoff spot. Of course, in the East, you can sometimes make the playoffs going under 500.
Just feels like bad vibes from this Milwaukee Bucks team. I'm going to have to take the under. Just doesn't feel like good chemistry right now.
You know, I'm going to take – I have no real reason here, but I'm going to take the over. I don't think there's enough good. There's so many wins in the East to be had because there's so many bad teams. So I'm gonna say I'm gonna say Milwaukee threatens for that last playoff spot and wins like, you know, 40-41 games. All right, next up. Oh, I love this one, Sean. The Minnesota Timberwolves, of course.
Ooh, no Kevin Love, or how long's he out?
They were looking great last year. I think he's only out for like 3 weeks, right?
Oh, okay.
I forget
if it was his hand or his wrist he broke. I feel like there's a big difference.
they were on their way last year, and then Rubio went down. But, you know, I think they made the biggest move. I think they, as a team, picked up the most. They traded for Chase Budinger for Houston, who's been a nice player. They drafted Robbie Hummel, who seemed to screw me on multiple bets at Purdue and also seemed to be at Purdue for like 8 years. They signed Brandon Roy. Brandon Roy, of course, out of basketball, but has looked like he's got some hop in his step. I actually called our friend Sully for the inside scoop on the Timberwolves. He really Shockingly, he likes him. They got rid of Darko. They signed Steemsma, who was a nice scrappy player for the Celtics. They got rid of Brad Miller. They let Beasley go. But another nice move they made that I like is they picked up Kirilenko. Gives him some defense. Adelman's a great coach. Like I said, Rubio kind of had him coming along. I think Rubio will when he comes back, he will be fine. I think Love is probably the best power forward in the game, or one of the best at this point. Minnesota's over under is 38.5. This is another lock for me. Take the over. I think Minnesota could threat for the. I mean, I think they're going to be a definite playoff threat. I don't see them finishing under 500. Honestly, I could see them winning close to 50 games. I think this is a bet that you might not have to sweat. I'm taking the over, and I'm making it one of my, like, we'll call it a lock, I guess. Start right there.
I'll take it as a play. I feel like if I'm down on Milwaukee, got to roll with the T-Wolves here. Feels like, for everything you said, and, the team felt like it was kind of coming together, a little bit of hiccup.
I mean,
they
looked really good last year before the injury to...
They feel like a 500 team, I'll put it that way, and, I feel comfortable them covering 38.
All right, next up, this is another team I really like, Sean. The New Orleans Hornets. Of course, kind of, got sold finally after David Stern stepped in and made a whole bunch of shady moves.
A lot of crazy antics going on.
All right, their over-under is 26.5. What did they do this offseason? Well,
Anthony Davis.
Yep, they signed probably the most pro-ready guy since Derrick Rose, I would say. He looks really good. He's basically Kevin Garnett out of high school. That was the other thing. Sorry, wrong team. They traded Okafor, traded Ariza. They picked and Rashard Lewis. They basically cut every. Oh man, they picked up Ryan Anderson, who is a very, very good player. Doesn't get a ton of credit, but he drains three, stretches. He's a stretch four. And they drafted Austin Rivers, Darius Miller, and Anthony Davis. Austin Rivers, of course, Doc Rivers' kid, has looked pretty good in the preseason. And they got Brad Miller, crafty veteran, play inside with Robin Lopez and Akeem Warwick, who they picked up.
Huh.
And they also they signed Eric Gordon. They kept Eric Gordon in town.
Oh, nice. All right.
I think this team has a lot of hope. They got some coach that everyone likes. I don't know what his name is. Seems like he's going to have the guys playing for him.
26 isn't that hard to get over.
26.5.
Sounds like
we really need a lock sound effect, Sean. This is another lock for me. I think this team easily wins 30. I'm taking the over, and I've actually already put money on this one.
Nice. Looking forward to that coming through.
You like over?
Yeah, give me the over. Like you said, yeah. I mean, you laid it out. Pretty solid plan for this.
They just seem like Anthony Davis.
The only
Davis
thing that worries
a...
me about Anthony Davis, though, is his muscle mass. I felt like he was too skinny. I feel like he's still hitting puberty. That's
Sean,
the only thing.
Just, all right, in the preseason game, he grabbed a board, dribbled the length of the court as a 6'11 center, and then laid it up. He literally, go watch old tape of Kevin Garnett. They are the same size, same everything. They have the same game.
I need some creatine, though. I feel like he needs to put on some weight. Just eat some protein shakes or something. Doesn't he look too skinny?
Yeah, I mean, all basketball players look skinny, though, because they're so damn tall.
No, not Brandon Bass.
Yeah, or Big Baby Davis.
Shaq.
All right, next up, my New York Knicks, who I think we got hope for the first time in a while. They were slightly unlucky last year. I don't know if that's because of Melo or what. Of course, they drafted some foreign guy, classic Knicks. They let Lin go. They traded away some interior guys for Raymond Felton, who used to be on the team, and Kurt Thomas. They let Frank Landry Fields go. Not a huge fan of that move. They signed Jason Kidd. They got rid of Tony Douglas and some other no names for Marcus Camby, bringing him back. They're really getting the old band back together. Now here are the moves I like. They got rid of Bill Walker and Mike Bibby. They signed some guys. The main one was Ronnie Brewer. I think Ronnie Brewer gives you a bunch of defense and rebounding from the two-guard position, which you need if you're going to play Melo at the three. They re-signed J.R. Smith, who is instant offense. They re-signed Steve Novak, who is
J.R. Smith in the league and not in jail?
Well, here's the crazy. Here is why you got to teach your kid how to shoot three-pointers. Steve Novak just signed a four-year, $15 million deal. And signed Rasheed Wallace to a one-year deal.
Wow.
Now, already have Tyson Chandler and Melo. Amari's going to be out for a couple weeks. The line here is 46.5. This line is right.
Give me the under.
If anything, I'm playing the under here. I'm not going to bet against my Knicks. I think this is the year Melo figures it out, how to be a teammate. And here's the main thing. The East is up for grabs, like we talked about. There isn't really a number two team. Chicago should be by playoff time, but who knows? There's a lot of question marks on every team except for Miami. I think the Knicks have as much, you know, star power and scoring as anyone, which potentially makes them a threat in the postseason. They were playing defense under Mike Woodson when D'Antoni got fired. I don't know. I think Jason Kidd is one of the few players in the league that might be able to tell Melo to, like, shut the fuck up and sit down, do your role. All of that being said, I will take a slight lean. You know what? Fuck, I'll take the over. I don't like it, though.
I like the under. I feel all right about the under. This team feels like right at 500. I think it's bad karma to get rid of Jeremy Lin. He reignited the city of New York. And I think Carmelo just destroys team chemistry. I feel like Denver is a better team without him. I feel like the Knicks were
Denver's a better team because they got a very good Knicks roster. They got the whole Knicks roster.
Well, and I feel like the Knicks were better without Carmelo Anthony. I feel like if it was up to me, you would have Jeremy Lin and Amari Stoudemire right now, and you would have gotten rid of Carmelo Anthony to get some assets. I mean, I don't know. I think Carmelo would be one of the best rec league basketball players of all time. He's obviously my first choice in any sort of pickup basketball game, but I just think you just that stop the ball offense eventually gets old. Teams can figure it out, and you just can't win a championship like that. So give me the under on the Knicks.
All right, Sean, if you insist.
I insist.
Next up, OKC.
They feel like a straight 500 team to me.
OKC. Of course, big trade. They lose their big man, James Harden. I would have preferred they signed James Harden, not Serge Ibaka. They signed Ibaka to a four-year, $49 million. They draft Perry Jones, who, well, look out for this guy. He was a super prospect, super hyped, went to Baylor, didn't really do much, but he's got tons of athleticism. I guarantee he's going to be a good off-the-ball defender, a lot of block shots. They got rid of Derek Fisher, and they signed Hasheem Thabeet, who is the 7'4" center out of UConn, who kind of has disappointed for Memphis, but another potential good move. This line was 59.5. Obviously, I like the under at that. Let's assume it comes back out at, 56? I think at 56, I still like the under. I think I'm a little higher on Denver. I think OKC is going to have I think they're going to have some growing pains without Harden in there to lead the twos. Durant and Westbrook. The whole team played a lot of minutes last year. Westbrook and Durant especially.
Played a lot in the they both.
So I'm going to say if this is over 56, 56.5, I'm going to go with the under.
put in a lot of time in the Olympic team as well. So, yeah, I like a slight under. I think they're good for like 53, 54 games, but I don't see them winning 60 games in the regular season.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I also think there's not going to be as much of urgency to get there. They feel like they've played in the playoffs. They know what it feels like.
They might already start and get ready to coast.
All right. Next up. Now, typically, I like taking the over for a team that loses their superstar. In this case, the Orlando Magic. They get rid of Dwight Howard. And listen to who they get back in return. Aaron Aflalo, not a bad player. Al Harrington, not a bad player. Josh McRoberts. Some Christian Anyanga dude. Some other foreigner. Some much other guys no one cares about. So what do they do next? Oh, they get rid of their next best player, Ryan Anderson, for basically another foreign guy. I don't know about this move. They re-signed Jameer Nelson, who wasn't that good to begin with, and they drafted some guys. They re-signed Ishmael Smith, who I think was from Phoenix originally. I don't know. If the only guy on your team that can create his own shot is Aaron Aflalo and Al Harrington, you're not going to be a very good player. They have Redick, I guess. Yeah, he's a shooter. They have Jameer Nelson.
What's the number coming in at?
Jameer Nelson's a pick and roll guy, 24.5.
Ooh, that's pretty low.
I really want to take the over here because I feel like when teams lose that star, they find a way to get wins. I just don't see it. I think they're going to rival Charlotte for the worst record in basketball.
I'm going to disagree a little bit. I feel like there's going to be some moments where they want to stick it to Dwight Howard. I think what he did to drag out that saga in Orlando built up a lot of bad blood and animosity on this team. I think the team will be motivated enough to win 25 games.
Here's my thing. I don't think they have anyone that's above average. Period.
Well, I'm just saying from a chemistry standpoint, I think they'll get up for enough games at home to try and just show that they have some.
I'm with you. It's a nobody believes in us thing. I don't, you know.
Right. That might be able to carry you to 25 wins. That's my angle.
Yeah. I just think I would put it like this. I think their range is like 15 to 20, 25, 26.
I just like in the East, I like going.
So I'm
going
to take the, even though all of what I said that you really probably should take the over, usually when you lose that big superstar, but I'm actually going against that theory again later. So, all right, next up, Sean, you're Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes. Buying them, baby.
With the new look 76ers with hometown hero, Andrew, I think he's from Philly, right?
I don't know. People keep saying that. I think he's from like somewhere close there, but I don't think he's
Pennsylvania. He's probably like from Pittsburgh. It's close enough. All right. What did they do in the offseason? Drafted some dude no one cares about. Resigned LaVoy Allen. Got rid of Elton Brand. Let Lou Williams go, which.
And Iguodala.
Lou Williams is a player.
I agree.
They replaced him with Nick Young, who's also a shooter. Signed Kwame Brown. How is Kwame Brown able to sign a 2-year, $6 million contract? God, I wish I was 7 feet tall. They got Darrell Wright. They let Jody Meeks go for Royal Ivy. They traded Iguodala. Picked up Jason Richardson, Andrew Bynum. I think they have one of the best coaches in the league. I think they're going to be able to get Jason Richardson is still one of the best pure scorers in the league. The number is 47. This is another one. The line feels pretty good to me.
I'm going to go with the under. I think Bynum's already pissing off people in the city of Philadelphia. That being said, I feel like he's talented enough to win some games on his own, and there's enough around him. And, I mean, I think they're still a playoff team, but I think 47's a little high for this team. I see them going 43 and 39.
You know, I think the number's right about it. I like Doug Collins. You know what? I was going to take I'll take a real, real, real small play on the over, and hopefully Bynum doesn't fuck me here. All right, next up, another team that lost basically their whole team, the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, man.
This line.
They do have that training staff, though, right?
They do have that training staff, Sean. This is a team. All right, so their line is 33.5. I think this will, now that that trade was made by the Rockets, I think this will clearly be the worst team in the West. And the worst team in the West, typically, of course, the Bobcats did pretty poorly last year. They do pretty poorly because there's so many good teams. Here is what happened in the, I mean, they were a 500 team last year with Steve Nash.
Yeah.
All right, so what do they do in the offseason? They try to sign Eric Gordon. Well, New Orleans keeps him. They sign and trade Steve Nash for nothing but picks. They sign Goran Dragic, basically a career backup point guard, fringe starter. They let Grant Hill go. They sign Michael Beasley, who has shown that he can't really do it unless there's some leadership on his team. And they got rid of Hakeem Warrick and Robin Lopez for no one. I mean, for Wes Johnson, for Brad, I don't know. They got Luis Scola, who's another nice player, but I just don't – they have a bunch of, like, nice complementary players. They drafted Kendall Marshall out of UNC. Should be between him and Dragic for the point guard. They signed Jermaine O'Neal, who's, like, 90, and they let Michael Redd go. So I got to be honest. They still have Gore Todd or whatever that guy's name is, that used to be the backup for Howard.
Yep.
Lock it up, Sean.
What's the total?
33.5.
Yeah, 33.5 is too high for a rebuilding team. I mean, they're clearing house. See, here's the thing. In Orlando,
Steve Nash is worth – I'd say Steve Nash is worth – in a normal season, Steve Nash makes you – so let's say you're a 55 – well, last year they were 400 – they were 500 teams. They were 40 – they were 33
and
33.
So it's basically 41 wins.
Yeah, so in a normal season, that would be 41. I think Steve Nash is worth no less than 20 wins.
I think he's – yeah, well, especially with a bad team. Because I think he can get stuff out of bad guys. You know,
well, that's what they've
team,
been for
so.
The past couple of years. They've been right. A bad team. I think
33.5 is way too much for a rebuilding team. You can sell me on the over in Orlando, 25.5. That's a little bit more reasonable. I can't see this Phoenix team winning much more than 30 games. So give me the under. Strong play on the
I'm
under.
Locking this up. I honestly think that this one might be cashed with a month left in the season. They're going to be the worst team in the West, guaranteed. All right, next up, Portland Trail Blazers. Portland's kind of been a decent team over the last couple of years. I feel like they did Nate McMillan an injustice in firing him. And what else did they do? They basically got rid of their whole team. They were under 500 last year. They got rid of Raymond Felton and Kurt Thomas for Jared Jeffries. Ooh. They kept Batum. They let Crawford go. I don't know. They re-signed J.J. Hickson, who was still probably the best player on that Cleveland team from years ago. Portland's number is 33.
Oh, I like Portland to hit that over.
I don't think they're a 33-win team. I think Portland can end up being down in the depths with Phoenix. I'm going to take slight play on the under here.
I like slight play on the over. I think
– all right.
If the books are saying Phoenix and Portland are equal, I like Portland hands down. So give me an under on Phoenix and an over on Portland.
All right. Next up, Sactown. I don't know. For some reason, I got a feeling about this Sacramento Kings team making that next step. Potentially,
really?
You know, halfway through the season, maybe looking like they might be in position for a playoff win. Let's see here. What do they do in the offseason? They drafted Thomas Robinson, that dude who didn't look like a kid out of Kansas with the tats. Really good player. They got James Johnson. They signed Aaron Brooks. Really like that pickup. He's a good point guard. Of course, they still have DeMarcus Cousins. They still have
Tyreek
Evans. This was a scrappy team last year. They were definitely a team that, you know, you didn't want to play on the road. I think they beat the Lakers at least once at home.
This is a rivalry.
They were a tough out. The number is 31.
Ooh.
I like the over. I think this team takes a step forward. I'm shocked that their win total is less than Portland and Phoenix. I really like the over for Sacramento.
Yeah, it almost makes me rethink the over on Portland. But, yeah, definitely give me the over on Sacramento. And I'm going to lock that up as a play.
Oh, you got plays all over the board.
I'm going all in NBA.
I've been a little more selective this year. I usually get burned by the NBA, so I'm trying to stick to some really really solid plays. All right, next up, San Antonio Choke Artists.
Oh yeah.
who seem to be the regular season kings the last couple. I think they were the number one seed the last 2 years.
Which is weird because they're resting guys for being old.
Yeah. I mean, they have an old team. What did they do? Resigned Tim Duncan, re-signed 3 years, $37 million. Resigned Danny Green, 3 years, $11 million. Resigned Boris Diaw, 2 years, $9 million. They didn't really lose anyone. So the number's 55.5. Last year, they would have been around a 60-win. What did they win? 50? So they would have been like a 62-win team, I think, or whatever it adjusts to.
I've gotten burned too many times by the Spurs. Give me the over. I'm not gonna doubt the Spurs till I see.
They're gonna go over. I'm not gonna say this a lot, but they're gonna go over. They feel like a team that could accidentally win 60, get 60 wins. Yeah. So I'd say a small play on the over there.
I like it.
All right. Next up, the Toronto Raptors. This is really the who gives a shit team.
Well, throwing that they're in Canada as well.
Yeah, they play in Canada. No one really cares. They suck.
I heard they're going to play some of their games at Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Oh, really? Nice. All right, what'd they do?
They should do an outdoor game for Toronto, just to make things interesting.
Their big pickups were Kyle Lowry and Landry Fields. They signed John Lucas III, the dude who was making like $10 an hour. Now he got a two-year, $3 million contract. They have Ben Bonyarny. They have some other players. Gosh. 33.5 sounds right. I feel like I've been going pretty under on the East bad team, so why not? Why not take a flyer on Toronto?
I'm going to go under. I took the over on Orlando, so give me the under on Toronto. That's basically how I'm deciding to sort things out here.
I'll take the over on Toronto. I just someone's got to win some games. They have some competent players. All right. Anyway, next up, Utah, who is my favorite team to play at home. Yes. All they do is cover those spreads against teams that aren't well rested.
Utah, secretly high elevation team, Ryan.
Yeah, so we talked about it a little earlier. We love playing teams going on their second of a back to back out to Utah.
It's a lock of a trend because the people don't adjust. Everyone knows that Denver is high elevation, but secretly no one knows that.
Utah is
almost the same elevation.
Basically the same elevation,
4,800 feet, right?
They're typically a well-coached team, and honestly, I think they actually do better when they're large favorites. I don't have stats on that, but anyway, this was a scrappy team last year. They came in as the 8th seed. They picked up Marvin Williams for Devin Harris. They picked up Mo Williams. They signed Randy Foy.
Mo Williams. L. Randy Foy.
Yeah,
I like this team.
They got a bunch of like role players. They got Paul Millsap. I really like. I kind of like where this team is going. They got some guys that know how to score when it matters. The number is 44.
Ooh, so I was gonna say
a good number, but
I like 40.
They were the 8th seed. I think they take a slight step forward. To be anything better than the 8th seed, you're gonna have to win more than 44. So I'm taking a slight play on the over.
I'll give you 45, but I'm not touching this.
All right,
they feel like they could be just slightly better than. That's why I feel is exactly right, because it feels like they'll win a lot on home, not travel as well, and end up a few games over 500.
I just think that home field gives them a couple wins, you know, maybe they wouldn't normally get. So I think I could totally see this team winning 48 games. All right, last up, the Washington Wizards, who, you know, at this point they're starting to look like a good team. Of course, they got John Wall, who's one of the more exciting young players. They drafted Bradley Beal, who with the 3 pick, who looks like he might be a player. They dumped Rashard Lewis, picked up Trevor Ariza, Emeka Okafor. They got rid of Andre Blatch, who was a cancer. Picked up AJ Price. Picked up Martell Webster. I think they also picked up Emeka Okafor. Of course, they picked up Nene last year. They got that white guy who was real athletic. I only say that because I watched him play live, and he was shockingly good at basketball for being like a goofy-looking 7-foot white guy. Their number is 28.5. I've been trying to talk myself out of this, But I think they finally have players. I think this. I haven't. I the other four I've set are locks. I've already put real money in. I'm gonna take the over here, and I'm gonna go bet as soon as we're done with this podcast.
No, all right.
I totally think Washington will be the team in the East that is the surprise team. That's like, oh look, at the All-Star break, they'll be right in like the 7, 8, 9 spot, looking like John Wall is taking that step forward. Because at the end of the day, they have something that you need. They have a guy that can penetrate whenever he wants to. And now they have Emeka Okafor, they have Nene, they have Bradley Beal. This team is going to be able to score some points. And with Nene and Okafor inside, they're going to be tough on the inside, which, you know, there's not a ton of teams in the East that are really super tough inside. So, I kind of like Washington to surprise some people.
Yeah, I feel like I needed one more team to squeeze out some wins in the East, and I'll give it to the Wizards.
I mean, they could totally be at 35. You know, I feel like their basement is 30 wins. I don't see how this over doesn't come in.
Yeah, they're 28
and a half is way too low.
Yeah, they're definitely good for 30 wins, Ryan. Feels right. Feels like a good number. All right, man. Kind of getting now. I'm getting a little fired up for NBA.
Yeah.
Although it's kind of weird.
Something else to gamble on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just also, I really liked the setup last year with the strength shortened season. It was perfect. It just came in at the right time.
Well, it started right at, you know, Christmas time. So you're like, all right, we still got football. But then it kind of helped you transition.
Yeah, it's like, oh, playoff football. So it's less games. So you're slowly getting worked into the NBA. Playoffs were coming up sooner. The NBA season a little too long.
All right, so real quick. Should we touch on some prop bets?
Sure, a couple of interesting ones.
All right, let's do. Let's see here. What do we got? All right, top scorer. No line. Wow, I think everything's all screwed up because of this stupid Durant. Last I looked, the tie it was basically Durant was like -200 and LeBron was like +120.
You're getting plus odds on LeBron anything. I'm taking it.
Yeah, I don't know. Durant just seems like he can put up 35. I mean, Durant's the better scorer.
You're getting plus odds on LeBron James, the MVP.
Yeah, I don't disagree. All right, let's do MVP.
LeBron James.
All right, LeBron James, +200.
What?
Kevin Durant.
So they're paying you money to bet on LeBron James.
Kevin Durant, +400. Kobe Bryant, +600.
Oh, my God. Kobe Bryant?
Dwight Howard, +800.
Now, this has got to be the first time that two players on the same team were top five MVP candidates, right? Or maybe Dwayne Wade.
Just going down the list, the only guys – all right, so obviously LeBron James is clearly the favorite.
LeBron James is the guy who's going to win this.
Yeah,
it's his thing to lose.
Now, I'd say these are the guys that can swoop in and come out of nowhere. And then Derrick Rose crossed off the list. He's not going to play enough games.
What are Rondo's odds?
That's what I was getting to. So Rajon Rondo, 10-1. That might be a nice pick.
That's a dark horse.
That's a nice pick. Potentially, if Kevin Love puts up sick numbers and they end up being like a 4 or 5, 3 seed, maybe. Unlikely though.
If you want some of my Kevin Love action, Ryan, I gotta see 25.
If the Houston Rockets make the playoffs and Jeremy Lin has a great year, 50-1 MVP. Probably not gonna happen.
On there, 50-1.
Now, I will say this. Chris Paul. Everyone knows Chris Paul is the man.
Yeah.
I know he's got Blake Griffin on the team.
Now, let me guess. What are you thinking? All right. If I had to guess Chris Paul MVP odds, I would think they would – I think my first guess would have been like 10-1. But if Rondo's 10-1, I'm going to say Chris Paul's like 15-1, 20-1.
20-1.
Wow.
Might not be a bad sleeper. Another one. I know you don't like him, but if that Knicks team does well and Melo has a great year, he could very easily be the
MVP. Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I kind of like Carmelo Anthony. I just don't think his game is good for the NBA.
You got Nash 10-1. The problem
Nash 10-1?
Yeah.
What the hell? Who would bet on Steve Nash to win the MVP?
Another one, Kyrie Irving. If that team steps up 50.
Oh, God.
Now, I'm going to say your smart money's going on LeBron James. 2-1.
You're getting plus odds.
But I would say I might make a small play on Rondo and Chris Paul. I think those are the two guys that can really like – more so Chris Paul just because he can do it with scoring.
No, if the Clippers – the Clippers would have to be the 1 seed or the 2 seed, I think, in the West for you to win Chris Paul.
Yeah.
There was dark horse.
Yeah, you're right.
You're talking Chris Paul.
You're talking me out of it. Rondo is probably the better of the long shot.
I mean, Rondo, they could legitimately win the East. If they if Boston is number one, all right, there is going to be some hesitation to give it to LeBron back to back years. If Rondo has killer triple double numbers, gets his free throw percentage up to 80% and leads that old Boston team, I mean, at 10-1, I'm thinking about it.
All right.
I'm thinking about it.
Rookie of the year. I know you don't give a shit about rookies, but Anthony Davis -200. You could have actually grabbed this at +150 earlier in the off season.
Huh.
He seems like the obvious choice. Now, we talked about this a little bit. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist on Charlotte. Not much else doing there. If he comes out and if he's a top 15 scorer, and that team somehow can scrap out an 8 seed in the East, he's definitely. I mean, he's only 650 though. I think bottom line, either you bet on Anthony Davis, or you don't bet at all. You're just throwing your money away. I don't know. I guess you could maybe make a play for Austin Rivers on the same team if he ends up. I just don't see
how would Austin Rivers win the rookie.
If he turns out to be this awesome point guard, averaging 9 assists a game, I don't know. I'm with you. It doesn't seem likely. Like I said, I wish some of these lines were up, but the division bets, I really, really like Denver at 7-1. I'd say if you can get Denver at better than 2-1, I'd say you still grab it.
All right, Ryan, one more here. Let's do,
should we do the conferences and championship?
All right, sure.
All right, real quick. Eastern Conference, Miami Heat -200. Is there anyone that you would want to play as a long shot to go against the Heat?
To win the East?
To win the East.
To get to the NBA Finals.
Just to win the East. Celtics and Bulls are +650.
Wait, you mean to win the East, not in regular season, you mean to win the East in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Okay, win the East in the playoffs.
+650 for Charlotte, or sorry, for Chicago and Boston. +800 for Indy. Those are the other tops. Yeah.
What are the Sixers?
12-1. Not a ton of value there.
Yeah. Yeah, not at 12-1. I was thinking
if you're looking for a fun long shot to play, Brooklyn 30-1, Knicks 35-1.
All right, yeah, I guess maybe throw a couple if you're a New York guy, throw a couple bucks on those.
Now, if you're being realistic, why not bet Chicago? Derrick Rose should be back at +650. That seems kind of steep. I don't know though. I don't know.
Yeah, that's really a storyline not enough people are talking about. Like I feel like that Bulls team might have been able to beat the Heat.
Yeah.
With Derrick Rose. Am I wrong?
No. All right. Next up. Now, this is the craziest thing. I get it, but I don't get it. To win the Western Conference, Los Angeles Lakers -120. Oklahoma City Thunder +170. Now, obviously, this has changed a lot in the last couple of days. San Antonio Spurs +600. And then after that, it's anyone's bet. You got the Nuggets and Memphis at 15-1, like we talked about.
Yeah, we like the Nuggets. So
I might throw a couple bucks on the Nuggets at 15-1. They're definitely going to be around. Can they get over the hump of not having, you know, that one individual guy? Clippers 15-1. I'd say throw a couple bucks on Denver.
Now here's what I do. I say put the Nuggets, Spurs, and Clippers, 100 bucks on
each.
And
just get, you know, 5-1 basically on three teams.
You got, yeah. One of those teams is probably going to end up in the finals, right?
I mean, it could very well be OKC and the Lakers, but the Lakers have so many injury possibilities. And then, you know, championship, Heat +175, Lakers +200. I mean, you're laying a really shitty price, but Heat +175, who's really going to beat them this year?
Feels pretty good.
I mean,
when the championship rolls around and it's Heat -180 for the finals, you're going to be happier sitting on that +175.
Hey, and it's like, you know, like we talked about, we like the Nuggets +3,000.
But really, isn't the better play just LeBron MVP? Because I feel like, how do they get to the finals without LeBron being the MVP?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
then he doesn't even have to do anything in the playoffs. You're already cashing that +200 before the playoffs start.
It's just a weird year. It's just like everyone's crowning the Lakers and the Heat, it seems like.
But I don't feel like that's a bad play necessarily.
Yeah.
They're both going to be tough teams to beat, even though I think Lakers, I don't know.
I think you can actually find that if you can bet on matchups, and I think you can actually get that. I think I saw that matchup at +220, maybe.
That's not fun, though.
Yeah. It's not. I mean, I don't know. Why not throw a couple bucks on Denver or even or Brooklyn 80-1?
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely some teams that can make a move. It just the teams at the top are so good.
And the NBA seems to sort it. I mean, when was the last time a huge the NBA's, I feel like, is different than the NFL and the NHL.
Yeah, the better team wins. It's a 7-game series. The team that's better will win the 7-game series.
Exactly. It's in the NFL, even in the NHL, it's weird. It's a 7-game series, but you see plenty of lower seeds coming in and upsetting. It's all about just getting in the playoffs. Who knows what can happen? I don't see that happen in the NBA. Feels like a year for the favorites to come through once again. That being said, then, go against what I'm saying here in the NBA, and you might do all right. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Make sure to go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can subscribe on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher as well. Follow the show on Twitter at Gambling Podcast. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Should we sprinkle a little action for Tuesday? Throw it out there. Take the Wizards +5.5 in Cleveland. I like them to make us have a early season win. And like we talked about, why not fade the Lakers early? There's not going to be value on the Lakers, so why not fade them? Grab Dallas +9 in LA.
Let it ride.